Each morning, just before sunrise, when things were fairly quiet, I could hear a steady humming sound, like bees in a hive, as the flies became active with the onset of daylight. They rose up off the corpses, refuse, rocks, brush, and wherever else they had settled for the night, like a swarm of bees. Their numbers were incredible. Large land crabs crawled all over the ridges at night, attracted by corpses. Their rustling through dry debris often was indistinguishable from prowling enemy soldiers. We responded by tossing a grenade at the sound. In addition to rotting corpses and organic waste, the litter of smashed and worn-out equipment of every type became more abundant as the battle dragged on, and the size of the Umerbrogel pocket shrank slowly. The ridges and ravines were littered with the flotsam of fierce combat. Debris of battle was everywhere, and became more noticeable as the weeks dragged on. I still see clearly the landscape around one particular position we occupied for several days. It was a scene of destruction and desolation that no fiction could invent. The area was along the southwestern border of the pocket, where ferocious fighting had gone on since the second day of battle, 16 September. The 1st Marines, the 7th Marines, and now the 5th Marines, all in their turn, had fought against this same section of ridges. Our exhausted battalion, 3-5, moved into the line to relieve another slightly more exhausted battalion. It was the same old weary shuffling of one tired, depleted outfit into the line to relieve another, whose sweating men trudged out of their positions, hollow-eyed, stooped, grimy, bearded zombies. The Company K riflemen and machine gunners climbed up the steep ridge and into the crevices and holes of the company we relieved. Orders were given that no one must look over the crest of the ridge, because enemy rifle and machine gun fire would kill instantly anyone who did. As usual, the troops pulling out gave our men the dope on the local conditions. What type of fire to expect, particular danger spots, and possible infiltration routes at night. My mortar went into a gun pit occupied by one of the 60-millimeter mortars of the company we were relieving. The gun pit was among coral rocks about 20 yards from the foot of the ridge. An extremely youthful Marine was just buckling the leather strap around the bipod and tube of his 60-millimeter mortar as I walked up near the position and put down my heavy ammo bag. I sat on my helmet and started talking to him as the rest of our squad moved into their positions. As the young man looked up, I was struck by the agonized expression on his face. He didn't seem happy, the way he should have, about being relieved. "You guys watch out for the Japs at night. Two of the bastards got into this gun pit last night and cut up our gunner and assistant gunner," he said.